The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But what will happen whenever Bashar Assad is no longer ruling Syria? At this time, they have Russia there propping him up. They're making slaves of the people, and they don't want to be living under Assad. Millions of them have already immigrated, and many of them in Germany itself. So this alliance gives Russia a naval and an air force base, just like it does the Iranians, where they can be right on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, one of the most strategic places in the world for Russia and Iran to be. But when Germany is allied with Syria, of course, that's going to be taken away, and Germany and Iran will no longer have the Russians there to allow Bashar Assad to continue to rule.
That's from my father's Key of David program back in, May of this year, building on the Psalm 83 alliance, and so much detail brought out in that psalm, in that prophecy. And we see it all aligning exactly the way God said that it would thousands of years ago. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's exciting show. We're going to step back and try to look at the bigger picture. As I say, so many things lining up. First, though, first things first. Get to the live stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. I mean, the timing of really, my father's been talking about this alliance for decades, and he really emphasized it earlier this year and then gave a sermon on it following that Key of David where he expanded on the prophecy, talking about Iran and Russia losing its influence, its control over Syria. This is from the Telegraph today. Russian Navy ships have been spotted leaving the Kremlin's crucial seaport in the Mediterranean as the renewed Syrian civil war threatens to engulf it. You've got this rebel uprising in Syria, and it's engulfing the Russians. And Russia evidently is moving out. My father was talking about that months ago. In fact, let me give to you what he said back in 2012. This is from the September 2012 Trumpet. It says, right now, Bashar Assad Syria is closely allied with Iran and Russia too, as you just heard in that clip I played for you. But this prophecy, speaking of Psalm 83, this prophecy shows that these two nations are about to split. This will have a domino effect on other nations. These events will really shake this world and dramatically alter the course of history. If you know anything about the Psalm 83 alliance, you're going to see there's nations specifically identified. And our King of the South booklet and other pieces of literature spell it out for you in great detail. I mean, that's what sets apart Bible prophecy from any other analysis that you hear out there or that you see out there. Because God gives us so much specifics, so many of the specifics. How could we know as far back as some of those early Trumpet magazines that Syria would eventually swing over to Germany? You see all and talk about everything lining up. You've got Israel on a rampage. They've decapitated Hezbollah and Hamas, leaving the way for Lebanon and Gaza as well to turn away from Iran. Just like we're seeing happen right now in Syria. And then you've got Donald Trump. He's coming in. He's obviously taking more of an isolationist approach, or at least he certainly does it. He wants to show strength internationally. but he doesn't want to get entangled in foreign wars. And so you're going to see some of these Middle Eastern nations as they swing away from Iran and even Russian influence in the case of Syria, and they're going to reach out to Germany. They're going to be begging Germany. And then for Germany's part, well, they've taken in like a million Syrian refugees, and they want that to stop. They want to send them back. And the Syrian refugees that are in Germany are seeking Germany's help. They want Germany to be the dominant influence in Syria, in a new Syria. So much, as I say, is lining up just perfectly. But this story in the Telegraph, naval analyst H.I. Sutton said Russia's TARDIS naval base in Syria was now under threat from rebel attack as the fast-moving front line closed in. It says the dramatic shift in the front lines in Syria now puts the base at risk. It says there are indications that Russia may be evacuating its naval vessels. I mean, this is huge. I mean, it's not going to get many headlines here in the United States. There's plenty of other there's plenty of other topics to discuss. And all of it, as we'll see from an old Trumpet article I'll give to you in just a second, God's just blowing the lid off of so much corruption and fighting and division and strife. As every nation fends for itself. I mean, you've got the war in Ukraine raging on. And then this news about martial law in South Korea. But just to stay on this for a second, this story out of Syria. Listen again to my father's Key of David from May 24th. Earlier this year, clip 14.
But Iran is losing Syria to Germany. It's happening even right now. They're losing them, and especially the people. And this is going to be a real shock to the world. You can be sure of that with all those warships and naval forces and the like is really giving Iran, a great strategic power that they want to cling to forever. And Russia wants that as well. This is all leading to a clash between Germany and Iran. That is prophesied in Daniel 11 and verse 40.
Now that's the bigger and the longer term picture, prophetically speaking, the clash between the King of the North and the King of the South, but you saw the map there that he played in that May 24 program. Russia's influence, Iran's influence, the crucial naval base right there on the Mediterranean in Syria. And then news breaks today because of this rebel uprising, news breaks that the Russian naval base is evacuating. My father sent out a Trumpet brief just last night, and we've got another full-length feature in the forthcoming January issue of the Trumpet magazine. But last night he said Syria has exploded in violence yet again. Over 500 people are estimated to have been killed over the past week as Syrian rebels, in part supported by Turkey, began seizing towns and villages on their way to the country's second biggest city, Aleppo. My father says here, these forces are targeting Iran-backed forces in northern Syria and have even killed a senior member of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. A senior member says Iran's stronghold in Syria is being weakened, and not just because of the insurgency. Israel has been conducting military operations in Syria to prevent Iranian arms supplies to Iran's proxy Hezbollah. So like I say, all of these world powers are maneuvering. They're strategizing. They're realigning. And it just so happens that it fits perfectly with Bible prophecy. The sure word of prophecy, as Peter wrote. That's what's so unique about the Trumpet magazine. Is you get to observe world events under the clear light of Bible prophecies, we often say. It gives you tomorrow's news today. If you don't have a subscription to the Trumpet magazine, make sure that you call our operators today and request a free one-year subscription, 1-866-930-3024. My father says here, one opposition figure from the Aleppo area told Israeli public TV yesterday, nobody knows if Iran and the regime would have been weakened without the recent Israeli attacks in Syria, which have allowed us to return and free the lands and the country. It says these insurgents are very pleased with Israel's actions in Lebanon. We're seeing just dramatic, earth-shaking events in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Syria. And there's a lot of other big stories to be distracted by. Maybe not distracted, but to take away from the significance, the importance of this one. I mean, we know everything. As far as the start of the Great Tribulation, the prophesied Great Tribulation, it's the Middle East that has the powder keg, Jerusalem. The clash between the King of the North, the German-led King of the North, and the Iran-led King of the South. And before that happens, you see Germany aligning itself with several Arab nations, several Middle Eastern nations that break free from Iranian influence. Pretty significant. Further down, this again is from the Trumpet brief last night. It's posted near the top of the Trumpet.com website at the moment, if you want to go back and look at that. It says here, some of the Syrians in Germany have been celebrating the recent advances against the Iran-backed Assad regime. Syria's civil war has raged for 13 years. It says Assad, together with Iran and Russia, has inflicted great evil on the Syrian people. Many Syrians really want help from Germany. More than wanting a place of refuge, they want Germany to help them reconstruct their economy and make progress nationally. It says Germany has its own goal. It wants to repatriate the Syrian refugees it took in. Many of these refugees who do want to return home want an alliance with Germany, not Iran. And so he points us to Bible prophecy. Another article that he wrote recently, The Fall and Rise of Lebanon. It says, Bible prophecy shows that the outcome won't be what Israel, nor America, or Britain would like, yet there is great comfort in the fact that God, who recorded these prophecies and is orchestrating them for his purposes, is ultimately in charge. I mean, that you see, as we've been saying, with so much of the corruption being exposed here in the United States, when you see the hand of God, that should motivate action. It certainly should. You know, I was just thinking as I was driving to the studio, how it was just a few months ago that the radical left, the communist left here in the United States, they were putting Trump supporters in prison. Steve Bannon went to prison, I think, on July 1st. And then a couple weeks later, they actually shot Donald Trump. How did the radical left lose power so quickly, so dramatically? It's just been a matter of months. As I say, the tables have turned, obviously. Where is that? Where's that one from Jesse Waters from last night, where he talked about just the dramatic change that we're seeing in the United States, just with Donald Trump as president-elect. If you guys see that, go ahead and play it.
When migrants hear Tom Homans coming to the border, they say adios and they self-deport. When Canada hears Trump slapping them with tariffs if they don't get it together, Trudeau makes a pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago. When bureaucrat lawyers hear Cash Patel's coming to town, they start looking for new jobs. A Washington headhunter said government attorneys have approached his firm at five times the normal post-election rate, and far more of them are career civil servants.
People are running for cover in the swamp. They're looking for new jobs. They're resigning. They're self-deporting if they're illegals. How did this happen so quickly? He's not even in office yet. Well, it gets back to God's intervention. Just to make one final point on the next Trumpet magazine, that would be January 2025. That's hard to believe. But it's the fall and rise of Lebanon that's coming out in the next Trumpet magazine. I want to take you back to April of 2022, also the Trumpet magazine. We had an article there, Why the Corruption is Being Exposed. Why is it being exposed? Joel Hilliker says here, you could say we're living in the age of exposure. Staggering amounts of high-level corruption are being exposed in America and worldwide. You're just seeing it everywhere. It says prime ministers, premiers, and other leaders, some labeled conservative, have been unmasked as weak, deceitful, corrupt, and shockingly dictatorial. And now you've got these communists on the march in South Korea and the president there declaring martial law. If you want to see what a real insurrection looks like, by the way, I mean, these are masked gunmen trying to take over the government. It exposes the fraud that was January 6th. Think about the, as one of our news gatherers said today, there needs to be a reckoning for all kinds of lies, for all kinds of corruption that's now being fully exposed. You could go right down the list, starting with the election steal, just to focus on the last few years here in America. Or before that, the bioweapon, COVID. All the lies about COVID, all the lies about the vaccine, all the lies about the election, the lies about January 6th, the lies about the fake president and his mental acuity. They just go on and on and on. And yet, as you just heard there, the cockroaches have come under the furious light and they're running for cover. And I'm just struck by how quickly things are dramatically changing. This article says, we viewed our intelligence services. Just to back up, the wretchedness of our politics, our medicine, our business, our culture, our society that was hitherto hidden is on display. So much wretchedness and corruption and evil doing. It's now on display. God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to show us, look, there's sickness from head to toe. Just like Isaiah 1 prophesied thousands of years ago. It says here, we viewed our intelligence services as competent and necessary, operating in the national interest. We now see that they have morphed into an unelected deep state, highly politicized, lacking oversight, heedless of law, dangerously powerful, weaponized by the left, and treasonous on the point of targeting a president before, during, and after his legitimate election, then allowing or facilitating his defeat in an illegitimate election. Now, this was in the Trumpet in 2022. It says here, we want to believe that all these problems stem from a crooked few, but the exposure of corruption filling entire institutions belies that notion. Isn't that what we heard early on? Back in the early days of the spying and the lying and the cheating and the stealing. Well, it's just, you know, maybe President Trump just took it too far, calling it the deep state or the swamp and how it all needs to be drained. And now look, I mean, now he's bringing in people like Kash Patel. And you've got links at Citizen Free Press saying that it looks like Hegseth, he has the votes for the DOD and Patel as well. I told you something about his book yesterday, Government Gangsters. The gangsters are everywhere. And the evil's being exposed. In the Amplified version of the Bible, Isaiah 1 and verse 5 says, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint and sick. It says, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's nothing healthy in the nation's body, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds. This is what God's trying to show us. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to show us how sick we are as a society, as a nation, as the world, a sick world. You look at scriptures like 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, where it says Satan is the god of this world. Revelation 12, 9 says Satan's deceived the whole world. And Ephesians 2, 2 says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. You could add to that from Revelation 12 that he's been cast down to this earth along with his demon army. That's why the world's in chaos. That's why there's so much sickness on display. God is exposing it. This article says, yet for so much power as the elites have, they have not been able to keep the corruption hidden. Why not? How has the truth continued to come out? He says God is exposing it. So God's allowing the chaos, the sickness. I mean, if you understand about the 7,000-year plan that he's laid out, the first 6,000 years is God basically telling man, after he's cut off from the tree of life in Genesis 3, okay, go ahead. Go establish your own governments, your own systems of education and commerce and trade and industry and all those things, business. Prop it up. Religion too. There's something for everyone in this world. Has religion in this world solved the problems of this world? What about education? What about government? Look at the United States, a young country. Only here for, 248 years? And look at how much corruption's being exposed. The whole head is sick. The whole body is sick. And then you have this pardon, as I discussed yesterday on the show. It's basically an admission of guilt. It's taking you, it's not only take, I made the point about going back to January 2014 yesterday, but it continues through to Sunday, just 2 days ago. I mean, I think the tax evasion and the gun charge was 2018 and 19. For Biden to take it through to Sunday, I mean, that makes you wonder about what Hunter's been doing last week. As someone joked on Twitter, he should have taken it through New Year's Eve. How much are these people getting away with? Well, finally it's being exposed. God is seeing to it. But he takes it all the way back to just before Burisma. And now we're seeing the Biden crime family and even Democrats, some Democrats, not all of them, but even some Democrats are shocked at just how far-reaching this pardon was and how it's essentially an admission of guilt. What did you do in 2014? There have not been any charges. There's no convictions to worry about. Well, there's been a House investigation, and as James Comer pointed out yesterday, they found the money trail. They got confirmation from six banks. And the fact that it went to 10 Bidens, and the fact that it was coming from all over the world. Not just Burisma. Burisma, remember, they're paying Hunter Biden, who at the time was an admitted crackhead. So Biden, who's vice president, he sends the crackhead son over to Ukraine. He's making money hand over fist, has no prior experience in the oil and gas industry. And it just so happens that Hunter's father becomes the point man to all things Ukraine. He goes over and he tells the Ukrainian president, I forget who it was, but basically, if you don't remove this lead investigator who was investigating Burisma, then you're not going to get a billion and a half from the dear leader, Obama. That's called pay to play. Burisma pays the Bidens, and then Bidens pay the Ukrainian government so long as they remove, I think Shokin was his name, He knew. He knew Burisma was corrupt. So the investigator gets taken out of the way. Burisma is saved by the Biden crime family. And the Bidens line their pockets. And along comes a pardon Sunday night, saying that anything Hunter did in 2014, whether with Burisma or wherever or with whoever, he can't be charged for it. He's got a full pardon. He's got blanket coverage. Listen to this montage as, I mean, you think about the regime media for its part here, how that some of them are acting surprised. Well, this kind of makes Hunter look like he's guilty of something. Oh, really? You didn't know? You know, if you go back to 2020, we know all about covering up the Hunter laptop, and they did it for 18 months. Well, that same year, you might remember, you do if you watch this show regularly, there was a guy named Tony Bobulinski who came forward and said, yeah, I was Hunter's business partner, and I was right there in it with the Biden family. And there's no question Joe was the big guy. And there's no question that Hunter set aside 10% for the big guy. This is while the big guy is vice president. Listen to this montage, clip 11.
On May 13th, 2017, I received an email concerning allocation of equity, which says 10% held by H for the big guy. In that email, there's no question that H stands for Hunter, big guy for his father, Joe Biden, and Jim for Jim Biden. In fact, Hunter often referred to his father as the big guy or my chairman. On numerous occasions, it was made clear to me that Joe Biden's involvement was not to be mentioned in writing, but only face to face.
And remember, in our investigation, we found that 10 family members, including Joe Biden, profited from the influence peddling schemes where they were shaking down our adversaries around the world for tens of millions of dollars. And then they created all these shell companies and laundered the money through the shell companies. And this is according to six banks. I believe two other Biden family members definitely and knowingly committed crimes. In addition to Hunter Biden, you have Jim Biden and Joe Biden. Joe Biden obstructed my and Chairman Jordan's investigations. He lied multiple times. He lied about his knowledge and involvement. We had sworn testimony from Bobulinski and Devin Archer that said that Joe Biden knew all along what was going on. He was selling the brand, his brand. He was selling access to our enemies around the world. And he lied, just like Jim Jordan said, in the debate about the laptop. And he lied when he said he wasn't going to pardon his son. So, yes, Joe Biden, in my opinion, has committed crimes.
Why wouldn't Joe Biden just go willy-nilly and pardon everyone in his family, anyone he can think of, because he's already, you know, he'll take whatever political hit he needs to for this 11-year pardon for Hunter for any crime that he might have committed. And that includes, of course, the Ukraine grift back in 2014. Hunter is the most involved in all the China and Ukraine and Romania, etc. But Jim Biden, Joe Biden's younger brother, Hunter's uncle, was also involved in some of the China deals with Hunter. And then there are other family members who received money.
A lot of them. And Hunter, the crack addict, was the bag man. He was traveling the world, in some cases traveling on Air Force One or Air Force Two. Traveling the world on government airplanes, working these deals, carrying out shakedowns. And then they were lining their pockets, weren't they? Tens of millions, says Comer. Who will be pardoned next? Is it Jim? Is it some other Biden family member? How many people can he pardon? If you think about, I made the point the other day, it's brought out in America Under Attack, how that so many of these investigations, going back to during the Trump years, and even into the fake presidency, the DOJ reluctantly going forward on the gun charge and the tax evasion after a judge, a clear-thinking judge, blew up the plea bargain. And so then the DOJ is like, well, I guess we have to press charges or go forward and take this to court. And Hunter's found guilty by a jury of his peers. That's for the gun charge. On the tax evasion, he admitted it. $1.6 million. How many millions and millions was he making? When you're laundering money, you don't necessarily go and declare that on your IRS papers. And what about the IRS agency, by the way? Because Obama and Biden, they love them some IRS agents because everyone's got to pay their fair share, right? So, hey, let's add tens of thousands of agents to the agency, the IRS, so that they can go after you. You know, the little guy making $60,000 a year. Hunter was paying rent something like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 per month. And then judging by stories a couple years ago, he trashed the place and he'd bow out and he wouldn't pay his final few months. He wouldn't pay alimony. He wouldn't do this. I'm not saying this as a just making names or coming up with names, but they're low lives of the lowest order. And yet they've been in power. They've been in control. They've been unscathed. They've not been punished. Now they've been pardoned, in the case of Hunter, fully pardoned, blanket coverage. From January 1st, 2014 to this past Sunday, everything's covered. Even murder, I presume. If he did it, hey, he's got a pardon. This is from the Washington Post. The extraordinary breadth of Hunter Biden's pardon. This is similar to that political story I gave to you yesterday. Even the Washington Post and Politico are stunned. In this case, the breadth is, it goes beyond what Ford gave to Nixon in 1974. It says it's one thing for a president to pardon his son. It's another to do it like this. President Joe Biden's pardon of his son, Hunter Biden, on Sunday is exceptional, not just because of the pardon recipient, the closest family member to receive a pardon in history, but also for its sheer breadth, according to experts on presidential pardons. I love all the clips, by the way, that are circulating on social media. People like Adam Schiff in 2018 saying, we gotta crack down on the presidential pardons or the latitude that presidents enjoy to issue pardons because Trump's going to pardon his children. What they accuse Trump of is exactly what they do. You see it time and time again. Trump's in it to make money. He's lining his pockets. Well, if he got a few more hotel guests during his presidency, I mean, at least they're making reservations at a legitimate company, not a shell company. And they're not transferring it through the shell. They're not laundering the money to Don Jr. if they want to go stay at one of the resorts. Everything they accused Donald Trump of, it's what they're doing. That's the surest sign that you know they're guilty. Here, listen, by the way, Jesse Waters made an excellent point just last night about basically they impeached Trump for what was happening at Ukraine and Burisma. Remember, it was Trump on the phone saying that, well, you ought to look into this corruption, this obvious corruption over there. This is clip six.
In a way, Trump was impeached for wanting to look into what Joe pardoned Hunter for. And this pardon covers the Ukraine money, the Russia money, the China money, oh, and the diamonds, the paintings, and all those back taxes. Got to hand it to the big guy. He tied this operation up with a perfect bow.
Trump was impeached. He was impeached by wanting to look into what Joe pardoned Hunter for. He was impeached for that. So Hunter gets a full pardon, blanket coverage. And then, again, you go back to 2018, 2019, and it's President Trump, the President of the United States, that gets impeached this article says Biden didn't just pardon his son for his convictions on tax and gun charges, but for, quote, any offenses against the United States which he has committed or may have committed, or taken part in during the period from January 1, 2014 through December 1, 2024. That would be Sunday, 2 days ago. It says that's a nearly 11-year period during which any federal crime Hunter Biden might have committed, and there are none we are aware of beyond what has already been adjudicated, can't be prosecuted. It says it notably covers when he was appointed to the board of the Ukrainian energy company, Burisma, in 2014, all the way through Sunday, well after crimes for which he was prosecuted. So it not only covers the time well before, but all the time after. The sober years, the time that he's supposedly sober, 5.5 years. I think in that indictment, sorry, the pardon, well, there was a pretty obvious and blatant lie, even in the pardon, where he basically the fake president blamed the tax evasion on Hunter's crack addiction. And Hunter's testified that when he was evading taxes back in whenever that was, 2018-19, he was sober. He was clean and sober. I mean, you can't make this up, some of these storylines. But this is real. But again, I'll just take you back to how fast the tables have turned, obviously. Now here comes Cash Patel. And who knows what Pam Bondi's going to do? Who knows how many investigations are going to be reopened? If Hunter's not going to go to jail for it, I mean, who else could? Because it's not like it was just one person. Like I said yesterday, it'll be interesting to see how this backfires. Because what you have in this pardon is essentially an admission of guilt. Yeah, we were breaking the law in 2014. It wasn't legal what we were doing with Burisma and the favors, the pay-to-play favors that we were giving out to Ukraine. It did break the law. But he's pardoned. It says here, the scope of the pardon is remarkable. This is the Washington Post, not me. The scope is remarkable. Experts say there's little to no precedent for a pardon covering such a wide range of activity over such a long period. Hunter Biden's pardon isn't tied to any special counsel investigation or charging document. The language of the Nixon pardon cited crimes he has committed or may have committed between 1969 and 74. But it says, as noted, that is not Watergate specific, and the dates cover Nixon's entire presidency, but it's a period roughly half as long as that covered under Hunter Biden's pardon. It says there's also the fact that some of Nixon's actions might already have been exempt from prosecution. It says, finally, there is some question about whether such a broad pardon for unspecified crimes is constitutional. Yeah, they were really worried. Adam Schiff was very worried about a pardon that's too broad, that Donald Trump was surely going to give to Don Jr. because, you know, Don Jr., he's a crook, right? He's crooked. He's breaking laws all the time. I mean, just compare these families. If you're in the regime media, open your eyes. Look at the laptop, at least some of it. Hear Tony Bobulinski out. I mean, he's handing over his devices to the Wall Street Journal. You mean Jake Tapper's not interested in that testimony? You've got Bobulinski and Devin Archer. They've testified that, of course, he was the big guy. The pardon is meant to protect the big guy, first and foremost. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then, like I told you yesterday on the show, I mean, the thing about this bracket, this time period, 11 years, it takes you up to Sunday. And it goes back to the deer leader. Yeah, when I mean, when Joe Biden, the point man, when he was there threatening the Ukrainian officials, if you don't remove this prosecutor, you're not getting the billion in aid. And then what did he say? Yeah, call Barack. Call Obama. He'll shut it down. Obama's right there in it. I mean, they were bragging. They couldn't help themselves. They get back from an actual quid pro quo, what they accused Trump of, with the perfect phone call. And then they talk about it at that Washington conference. I forget the date on that. I think early 2019. Yeah, he's there bragging about it. Well, son of a, you know what? He changed his tune. He fired the prosecutor. Jesse Waters on the pardon. This is what he said last night, clip 5.
So Biden is saying the Biden Justice Department was weaponized against Hunter, but not against Trump. The same Justice Department. Got it. It's fitting that Biden's presidency started with a cover-up and ended with one. The laptop, the lab leak, his health, the coup, and then a blanket pardon that historians are saying is bigger in scope than Richard Nixon's. Biden went from my son did nothing wrong to here's a pardon that goes back a decade. 42-year sentence for tax and gun felonies, it's the crack's fault. Biden went from I never talked business with my son to, yeah, I had spaghetti dinners with his Ukrainian clients, but we just talked about the weather. I didn't think it was possible for Biden to humiliate the Democrats any more than he already has. We all knew his son was going to get pardoned. No one would ever let their son go to prison if they had the power to stop it. But just like every hoax, whether it's Russia or Smollett going out for a footlong at 2 a.m. January in Chicago, the media fell for it.
I just don't agree with that last part there. Pretty good analysis. But the media didn't fall for anything. They weren't duped. They were promoting the false narratives. They promoted the propaganda. They were preaching it. To see a few of them wake up now. I love, by the way, Whoopi Goldberg. She's having an exchange with the View ladies. And one of them says, well, the Bidens lied. Joe Biden lied. Stop saying lie. Stop it. You've got to stop saying that he lied. He didn't lie. Circumstances have changed. Listen to KJP. She's traveling with the fake president. And she said this to the pool reporters yesterday. Clip 4.
First of all, one of the things that the president always believes is to be truthful to the American people. That is something that he always truly believes.
He really believes in being truthful. The man is a habitual liar. He's like Jesse said, he's began his presidency with a big lie. And I mean, he's just perpetuated it all the way through. Border secure. Crime is down. Inflation's transitory. I'm not going to pardon Hunter. The laptop's Russian disinformation. He said that in a debate in front of the entire nation. All the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. They lie, as I said yesterday on the show. All of them. And then when you say you lied, they say, now don't use that word. Come on, please. Sugarcoat it a little bit. Can't you be nice? Well, when it came to Donald Trump, the bad orange man, remember the lies that they kept track of? Oh, and they did not hesitate. He lied. He lied 10,000, 12,000 times from what we can count. Now the tables have turned. Now there's new law enforcement officials coming in. Now there's going to be some accountability. Notice this, just to take you back to this Washington Post piece. There's some question about whether such a broad pardon for unspecified crimes is constitutional. An issue, listen to this, you got to throw Trump in it, right? Even when the Post is shocked. Can the Bidens actually do this? I mean, this is broader than Nixon's. The Post throws this in. An issue that arose when reports indicated Trump might preemptively pardon family members at the tail end of his first term. Trump might do it. So we've got to rein him in. We've got to put up the guardrails. We've got to sabotage his presidency because of what he might do. And then meanwhile, right in the clear of day, you see, it's not might in the case of the fake president or the dear leader. It's what they're doing. Full pardon. Blanket coverage. But now the tables have turned, and it's happened so abruptly all over the world as evil doing and corruption is being fully exposed. Listen to this. This is from CNN. As I say, yesterday's was Politico. There's the Washington Post. Listen to this exchange on a CNN panel, clip 10.
And I think that makes the case for why the DOJ has to be cleaned up. New ethos of operation has to happen there. But I think one thing about this pardon that's striking to me is that it's not for the gun and the tax charge. This is for everything he did in the last 11 years. Coincidentally, that's when he went on the board of Burisma, the Ukrainian gas company. I think that there's going to be a lot more investigation into what Hunter Biden's dealings were with Burisma. And now that he's been pardoned, he doesn't need the Fifth Amendment. He can tell us everything. He can tell us everything about his co-conspirators. He can tell us everything about other people who did business with him. A lot more is now on the table. And so I think Joe Biden, in overreaching here with an 11-year pardon, he may have opened more fodder for investigation from the House.
That's CNN talking about the tables turning or how this might backfire. To issue such a broad pardon, it's going to open the way actually for more investigations carried out by a Trump DOJ and a Trump FBI. Listen to Jesse Waters as he talks about the need for, well, you just heard it from him. What did he say? I think that makes the case for why the DOJ has to be cleaned up. The DOJ has to be cleaned up? 2 seconds ago, the DOJ could do no wrong. But now they've been exposed. Even CNN is acknowledging that there are things that are broken that need to be fixed. Here was Jesse's take last night, clip 9.
All these disgraced FBI liars are panicked. Trump and Cash are going to weaponize the FBI the same way Biden and Obama did. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. But if fear of retribution's getting results, just like tariffs and mass deportations, bad apples are retiring, issuing pardons, sticking their heads out and identifying themselves, well, maybe. We don't believe Cash is there to destroy the Bureau. It still does great work. But it needs to be disinfected and reformed after the abuse of power. We don't call that revenge. We call that accountability.
It needs to be reformed, just like Patel says in his book, Government Gangsters. This was probably my favorite clip from this morning. This is David Ignatius I think he works for the Washington Post. He's on MSNBC or CNN, I forget which. I think it's the Meltdown. He's with the Meltdown people because, you know, they've got all the split screen, 7-8 people. And he's talking about why Cash Patel should not be the FBI director. Listen to clip 1.
I think what's of concern when you think about him as FBI director is the FBI director has extraordinary powers to conduct surveillance on American citizens. And those powers to listen into phone calls, to read mail, so to speak, would be directed by somebody who has shown that he has a very political agenda.
Wow. You think? The FBI director has extraordinary powers to spy on American citizens? To snoop into their emails? That's quite an admission. Publicly, for all to see. And of course, the implication is that Chris Wray and Merrick Garland and, you know, Eric Holder and well, all of the, they're just completely apolitical. No political motivation whatsoever. But Cash Patel, he might use those powers in a politically motivated investigation. He might. Just like Trump, he might pardon his own children. Open your eyes and look at the power that the current FBI director has to sit on Jeffrey Epstein's book or the Hunter laptop or to investigate, moms who are concerned about wokeness at school or all the largest investigation in DOJ history. That would be January 6th. No political motivation there. When they're exposed, you see, they're terrified of Kash Patel coming in and using those extraordinary powers the way they're using them right now. This exposure point that we can finish off with. My father wrote, this is from February 2022, yet despite the media silence and censorship, I believe we're at a turning point. I'm convinced that right as the radical elite's power is surging and they are leading America to its demise, he says their treason is about to be exposed and they will lose their power. There it is again, tomorrow's news today. That's almost 3 years ago. Right at the apex of their power. And think of it. Just 4 months ago, they put Steve Bannon in jail, in prison. He's like one of the loudest proponents of the MAGA movement. They shot Donald Trump on July 13th. They tried to assassinate him again a couple months later. And now they're losing their power. And they're really worried about the extraordinary power that an FBI director has. Yeah, it is extraordinary. Look at how they abused it as they went after Trump in 2016 and 17. Steele dossier, total hoax. But then also just the fact that Russia meddled in the election of 2000, they were all election deniers. And that was spearheaded by the dear leader, Barack Obama. He, along with John Brennan, just created this report saying, yeah, Russia meddled. So we got to have this ongoing investigation. And of course, the investigation, like Sundance taught us, is not only meant to target Donald Trump, public enemy number one, it's meant to cover up their own crimes, use the extraordinary power that an FBI director can use to cover up the truth. It's been happening for years. I mean, it's been happening since these agencies started to some degree. But boy, it was the dear leader. It was Barack Obama who overhauled all of those agencies to make them complete and total weapons for the radical leftist ideology, to turn all of those spying powers that used to be used on threats from abroad, to turn them on American citizens. David Ignatius just said so. Yeah, the FBI director can actually spy on American citizens. We know, David. We know. We've been seeing it. It's been exposed. In January 2021, my father says, this is right as the fake president's coming in. We're about to see some of the biggest frauds exposed, perhaps ever. Further on, he says, this nation is about to be shocked. I believe you are going to see frauds exposed like you've never even imagined. In a sense, you could say the left is fighting against God and God's prophecy. Who do you suppose will win that battle? It says, prophecy shows that many earth-shaking events are certain to happen in the next few years. We're going to see things unfold that will astound us, perhaps every week. He says, I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I believe God is allowing it to happen this way, with the fake president coming in, he means. He's allowing it to happen this way to ensure that the evil and corruption in America is exposed. We're seeing it. We're seeing it happen. Just going back to that Joel Hilliker article from 2022, he says, use this fact, the fact that it's being exposed, use this fact that God is showing you the truth, however unpleasant. Acknowledge the fact that human nature itself, your human nature, must change. Recognize how much you and our whole world need God's help and pray fervently, Thy kingdom come. That is this world's only hope. America under attack. It's free for the taking if you just call our operators. Subscribe to the Trumpet magazine. No cost or obligation for a subscription to the trumpet. You see the 800 in there, the 800 number there at the bottom of your screen. That's all we have time for on today. In fact, I took you a minute over, but I'm not, like I tell my students when I do that, I'm not going to charge you extra for that extra 60 seconds of content. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show. We'll see you again tomorrow.